Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. A day 130. Mike had lost the plot there, hadn't you, dear?
Yes.
You've forgotten how many days.
Johnny's have a jab.
Oh. Don't do medical, Jonathan. You have my sincere sympathies. Rest up. Oh, jab's a new term. Oh. You say jabs here, though, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an American thing or not. Oh, hello, Simon. How's Mrs. Simon? Or should we not ask? Ooh, 24 hours feeling icky. It would be just as well if you were good tomorrow, Jonathan. Wouldn't it? Slight matter of us being 8-8. And you needing to get ahead again. After leading by 3 entire points. Mike's going to do his best, though, to keep you awake, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not tomorrow, is it? That's the week after.
Yeah.
God, I'm ahead of myself.
Actually, I could show it tomorrow.
And there you go, then.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a surprise?
No.
Hello, Paul! Well, tell Jonathan and then he might feel a little bit better.
Well, I know you've already bought the car, Johnny, but I'm putting together that spreadsheet of your loan. So the next time you buy a car, you'll be able to use it.
Next time?
Next time.
I don't do cars.
No.
My car is almost as old as Jonathan.
And I will send it through
In
to you.
In fact, Jonathan, my car was new when you were at primary school. Just saying. There's nothing wrong with it. It still has four wheels and it moves. Well, as far as I'm aware, it moves. It's not moved for a while, but I'm sure it still moves. Can't get excited about cars. Never could. Cost too much. I know computers cost a lot, but not as much as cars. All my money's going on computers, but I can't give Apple money at the moment. Still no sign of the lesser spotted mid-2020 iMac. Just saying. Tuesday is my best bet. Tuesday.
So I will do it as per the screenshot you sent me.
Ah, but look, he can make one-off payments, yeah, which would reduce the monthly ones and interest.
Yeah.
Oh, you could build that in.
I could.
You could build in a what-if analysis.
Yes.
Well, you see, Jonathan, you'd
what
be...
What if Johnny forgoes a new iMac and spent the money?
Jonathan
on the,
doesn't
on the
buy
car.
iMacs.
Oh, he doesn't, does
no,
he?
No,
no.
And he's only just got a new laptop, so that won't work. But I can predict, exclusively, that Jonathan will... There is something Jonathan is not partaking of right now, which he could put towards the car, and that would reduce the bill.
Petrol.
Yeah, because you're not exactly going anywhere. I've not filled my car since probably Christmas.
He's going to Granny Isaac's, isn't he?
Yeah, but she doesn't live far away.
Oh.
No, we're not talking Land's End or John of Groats here, are we? Probably goes to Tesco's quite a bit. Oh, he has been looking at iMacs. Well, if the new one comes out, and if it's the new industrial design, would the new industrial design tempt you or be likely to put you off? Because I've just said to Mike, looking at my desk setup...
You kept that quiet, didn't you, Johnny? See, we had to coax it out of him.
It could well end up everybody works from home. The sales of iMacs have gone up greatly. Yeah.
Sales of guitars have gone up.
I bought you a guitar.
I know.
Yes, you need to play it.
And when I have time, I'll play it.
You're going to wait till you've had time. Shot, that's it. Now it's all come back to me, Jonathan. So would you be more inclined to buy... Let's presuppose it's still an Intel iMac. More inclined with the new one, less inclined... Because I said to Mike, what I've got now actually all matches up, all the screens line up. And if they change the format of it, that might mean I've got to change the entire desk. But I do fancy 128 gig of memory. I've always said, when I got my first one, I think it had a gig in. And I upped it to 3. And then... It virtually doubled every time I got an iMac until about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And then it was 32, 32, 32. Finally, the last iMac I got could take 64. But the new ones can take 128. Well, the model after mine can take 128. So I know it would grossly add to the cost, but it's got to be done. So I am tempted, I'll be honest. I am. It's not on. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How are you doing? Alcohol sales have gone up. According to a story I read today, you know, so bound to be true. The sales of Magnum ice creams have gone up, but the sales of deodorant have gone down. I can understand that, can't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to spend money on deodorant when you're locked in the house? Or would you rather have a Magnum? Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. Let's go for the Magnum. Let's have a look.
Yeah, Victoria's had it bad, hasn't it, Paul?
Why? What's going on there?
I think there's been another spike out down there.
We've got spikes all around us. The north side of Manchester seems to be horrific. They released a list of 10 locations in the UK where, you know, figures not good. And about 7 of them are within 10 miles of us. So, yeah, not good. Is that because people are trying to get away, Debbie? I would have thought the opposite would have happened, but clearly not.
See this? This guy built a bar. Didn't Jed do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was somebody did that, and they, I think it was a business, you know, for the social distancing.
Yeah.
And somebody broke in and stole the barbecue. Ah, and not staying in hotels. Uh-huh. And the R is currently below 1. I can't believe the figures here. It just doesn't make sense. They're opening up everything known to mankind. Boris is visiting Scotland today. There he was. No mask. The rules change tomorrow. But no mask and no social distancing. And I'm thinking, you know, does Scotland really want him visiting? Seeing as though they're doing quite nicely, thank you very much. don't let Boris in. And to be honest, I actually said to Mike, you can keep him, don't bother sending him back. But I don't think that's going to happen, sadly. I don't know why he bothers. He could go up there, he could visit every day for 10 years, and they're still not going to vote for him. So don't bother.
Major League Baseball returns to the US.
Ooh.
Behind closed doors, which is fine, you know, we've had soccer here for weeks behind closed doors. The first game will begin when Dr. Anthony Fauci, a top US disease expert, who's widely respected for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic and other viral outbreaks, will throw the opening pitch of the game as the reigning champion Washington Nationals host the New York Yankees in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine some top doctor kicking off a match?
Oh, God, could you imagine Kieran being invited to kick off the footy? Yeah, the only problem with that is taking the knee. If he took the knee, he'd never get up again. CQ Deb.
Our players took the knee last night.
And they've been taking the knee every match since it started. Yeah. Is that still happening in the States? Because, you know, that's where it started. And it was the George Floyd thing that started it in the Premier League. Watsit's gone mad with that, hasn't he? Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Saying that Formula One is inherently racist and that no one's doing anything about it. And he's really ranting. And not everybody did take the knee there, though. So
spitting is banned. Hmm? It's not spitting is banned, it says. It's not been banned in the Premier League.
So should be.
I've seen plenty of players spitting.
Oh, it's
spitting
disgusting.
This week.
It's been disgusting for 50 years. It doesn't get any better.
Despite a lack of spectators, one network, Fox Sports, says there will be virtually added fans during matches it airs. The computer generated fans will cheer, wear team colours, and boo. Now, they've been doing this at soccer matches for the past few weeks.
It's weird.
But there's a funny story behind this. First of all, one of my friends who I used to work with appeared on the Zoom wall, as they called it, at one of Man City's games the other week. It's a City fan. But somebody posted a still on Facebook the other day of, I don't know if it was that City game, but it was a City game. And what they'd done, because there were so few fans at home wanting to join in the Zoom meeting, they'd copied and pasted, so they basically duplicated the fans onto other squares on the 9-square grid of the Zoom screen.
There are no words.
I was going to say something else about... I know what I was going to say, masks. You know, masks on public transport are supposed to be mandatory.
Yeah, I like the supposedly that.
Well, this morning I'm walking back home and I get to Cherry Lane and a bus pulled up to turn onto the main road. So I'm stood there with Lola and there's about 5 or 6 people on the bus and they've all got masks on. Apart from one guy who's got his mask on his chin.
Don't get me going on that, idiots. Seriously, where do they pick these people up from? Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Virtual fans for Trump's inauguration.
That was so funny, wasn't it? Never before. I mean, I remember Obama. I've seen inaugurations, I think, going back to probably Carter in the 70s. I remember watching one on a 6-inch black and white TV that ran in my car when I was going to university. I think it must have been... If it was 88, was that George Bush? It was, wasn't it? I think it was George Bush. But I'd never really noticed, like, the crowds before. It's just like, well, that whatever. But Obama was literally people as far as you could see. And then when Trump arrived, it was then like, let's compare the crowds. Everything has to become so competitive with that man. So, well, will he get in November? It's all gone a bit off the boil, actually, hasn't it?
Well, the world's got other things to think about.
Well, no, I mean, 4 years ago...
A bit like Brexit.
Well, 4 years ago, we were talking about Brexit, yeah. Weren't we? So, 4 years ago was like everything to vote for. But this year just seems really quiet. But they could have done with a few more, couldn't they? It is really weird. Although, you think, like... There would be, I think for me, there would be some fans cheering, irrespective of which end the action's at. But because they've got it as like, okay, so the home team, they're going to get the cheers. Then when United get down the other end on an away match and they score, then there's a load of booing in. It's like, that's just, that doesn't happen, does it?
No.
In reality, it doesn't. Home fans would go quite quiet and you would hear the away fans, but not booing. Not unless you're at Old Trafford and Jose was in charge anyway. Oh, talking of Jose, one of our friends has got a new dog, haven't they?
They have.
It's a Portuguese water dog, which is the same one Obama's girls had. And it's called Bruno. It's rather cute. They've had to wait 2 years, haven't they, on the waiting list for one of these dogs. I presume somebody is allergic because these dogs are kind of hypoallergenic. They're fine for people with allergies. As are a lot of the doodles. Like, and the jackapoos. Because Ollie's all like tight curls, isn't he? Which is really quite strange when you're used to stroking a Sammy.
Yeah.
I see she's wandered off. Oh, did she stuff herself tonight with treats? Well, she's not creating at the minute. Mm. She was. I was trying to have my dinner, which was actually lunch. But that was because a webinar I was in overran. You'll like this story. This is actually true. I said to Mike, I'll probably still be up when you get up because I've got a webinar at 4 o'clock. Right,
that's 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's 4 o'clock in the morning, obviously. So, well, it wasn't my fault. It was Pacific time. But then I realised...
Is anyone blaming you?
No, I'm just saying. But then I realised the webinar didn't start at 4 o'clock. No. It started at 3 o'clock. So I thought, oh, it'll all be over then. So I'll get some sleep. Yeah, I should really have known better. It started at 3 and the guy said it'll be an hour. So I thought, fair enough, be over by 4. I'll get some sleep. 4 o'clock came and went. And then he said 4:30. Well, obviously he's talking his time, but it would have been 4:30 my time. 4:30 came and then he said, I'll stay till you know, I'll give it another 30 minutes. I thought, some of us need some sleep. Anyway, when it got to 5:55 and Mike was just about to get up, the people in the webinar said they wanted to carry on. But they didn't mind if he had to go. So he's like the head honcho of this thing. They'd just leave the room open and we'd carry on our own. So they did, and I was basically just listening rather than talking. And I thought, well, they'll probably give it another 20 minutes or so. 6 o'clock came and went, 3-hour webinar. At this point, I'm thinking, now I understand with Jonathan how these 5-minute meetings run to 3 hours. Because at this stage, it was 3 hours. So I thought, I'll give it till 1:30 and then I'll get some sleep. Anyway, 7 o'clock came and went. And I thought, that's it. I'm out. I'm gonna have to get some sleep. So I thought, well, I'll record the end of it. Because I don't know if we're getting the recording that the guy was making. Anyway, Mike said, as he went off to work in his office, they were still going at 8 o'clock. 5 hours. So I did manage to get some sleep, but not as much as I would have liked. So I could be as high as a kite, just to say. Isn't it ridiculous? I mean, I know people enjoy talking to each other, but really? 5 hours. Who would put on, Mike, a show that was nearly 5 hours?
I don't know. Who would?
I can't imagine. Let's not mention last week's after hours.
Well, what about By Request?
By Request music, though. I think music's different. It's not a video show. So you can listen and do other stuff.
Yeah, get the shopping.
Yes, like you do. But no, I mean, After Hours is as long as After Hours is, and you can always catch up later. I didn't know if this was being recorded for us to share it later, which would have been a nice thing to know whether you could disappear and actually get some sleep. But amazing. And everyone had a fabulous time. So that was my night. So things are going the wrong way in Ohio. I don't understand this mask business. If masks are important now, weren't they important 4 or 5 months ago?
That's exactly what my mum said.
It makes zero sense now.
Because when I rang her yesterday morning, she said, I've just got in from Sainsbury's. She goes to the shop, she goes to the supermarket early on her...
The woman's never in.
Whatever morning. She was going to leave it a couple of days, but she decided to go on Wednesday. So then we got talking about supermarkets. I said, you'll have to wear your mask as of next week. She said, I always do anyway. She said, but then if you've got to wear a mask from next week, why, what's the difference between this week and last week and the 23rd and the 24th?
I have zero idea.
Unless Boris is giving you time to buy your masks and get them delivered.
Thing is, though, there's no quality control on the masks.
No.
So it's basically just something to cover your face. And I'm not sure of the science on that basis. But what I did see yesterday, when the press conferences were every day, you were being fed the slides and on the slides, the stats. So at least you had an idea of what was going on. You could see it going down. Then when they binned them, it was very difficult to find the same information. But not yesterday, the day before, I did actually find a post on the BBC site that had that day's stats in it. And I said to Mike, at the height of it, did we actually touch 1,000 deaths in a day? Let's have a look. NHS England, they might have a clue. Or maybe not. Yak, 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 yak. Oh, here we go. That's interesting. Right, so the height of it was the 12th of April, wasn't it? But that wouldn't actually have been the highest, or would it? Oh, you're going to love this, Mike. I found a site, NHS England Statistics, where you can download everything as an Excel spreadsheet.
I think I've seen it.
Oh, my. Yeah, is there an overview here? I just wanted...
Yeah, I think you're right with that, Kim. Oh, I think they've said that over here as well.
Literally. Are we not just... Why are you giving it as like this? Okay, so the deaths were... It looks like 657 on the 12th. Which, not good. Not good. Let me put an auto sum on there. Oh, the auto sun's disappeared. I'll do it.
There's
by
a
hand.
Spike in COVID cases because there's a spike in testing. If we had more IQ tests, would there be a spike in morons as well?
We know where they are. They're working for the British government. I think America have got some as well. Is this adding up or not? Crying out loud. Right, open up the brackets. And let's take that up. Right, think I've got it. Maybe. Anyway, 657 deaths. So, the other day... No, don't save that. The other day, I caught the deaths. And Scotland had had zero. I think Wales had had zero. So I was basically assuming England would be down to a handful. Silly me, 169 in a day. That doesn't seem to be that much better to me. Or is it just me? I know by comparison to over 500, you'd be thinking, well, there's an improvement. But it's still a heck of a death rate. We're still miles over the average death rate in the year. And no one's saying anything. Must just be me. We didn't want you buying them and not having enough for healthcare. Exactly. Exactly. But now it's just like a face covering. Yes, they're using the term mask, but a scarf will do. I honestly don't know. I just think it's still insane to head out the door. I know if fewer people are infected, then your chances of coming into contact with them, technically speaking, but, you know, they're not walking around with a big flashing beacon on their head, so you know who's who. And it could still be that people are... I mean, I wouldn't know where to go for a test if I thought I had it. And to be honest, if you thought you had it, would you bother having a test? Because they're not really treating you, are they? They weren't treating you at the height of it.
True.
So now, I don't know whether they would bother or not. Anyway, it's still rumbling on. 160-odd deaths a day. Like yesterday was lower. Yesterday was about 80. But even so, it's 80 people who have actually died of COVID. And as Mike said, when did they start with it? Is it one of the people who's been in a coma for 4 months? Or... are they relatively new infections? And we're not getting that kind of information. So I don't know how on earth we're supposed to make informed decisions about whether we go out or not. But seeing as though we don't actually have to go out, why would you? We're in a nice rhythm with the delivery folk, aren't we? With Tesco and Asda.
True.
Amazon know where we live anyway. No real need to go out. I mean, yes, restaurants are open, but would you risk it?
No.
I don't know actually how you could, because while the restaurants are open, the bathroom facilities aren't. So what are you supposed to do? Go home and then go back?
They are in some places. And
well, how come some can open and some aren't?
I don't know.
Or is it every other cubicle? Because it's got to be cleaned between each use.
Yeah, in this video that AZ made for returning to work, it did say... you know, the number of toilets is going to be drastically reduced. So if you've got three cubicles, only one will be in action. Now, I was going to say, surely that's illegal.
Yes, it is.
There must be...
there is. There's a minimum number of cubicles number per of,
yeah,
people
per
on
person.
Site.
Yeah, but they're reducing the number of people.
Yeah, but not down to the fact that one toilet would do.
True. There's a McDonald's round the corner, but the toilets are probably shut there. If I was really desperate.
It's very simple, Mike. You're not going.
I don't see the need.
I don't.
No.
If you can work at home when it suits them, you can work at home when it suits you.
Yeah.
I've always said I'm perfect for a role in HR.
Mm.
Once more with feeling, dear. That was that
lady
was
pipes. Are we back to the lady
Oh,
pipes?
Oh, lady pipes. adult diapers. I actually saw that once, Kim. I think it was Grey's, wasn't it? Oh, what's her name? Oh, God, what was her name? The, there was, no, I can't remember. The Chinese lady who went, heart surgeon, went to Geneva, I think, and has just sent back that bloke, the Irish guy, for Meredith. Oh, what was her name? No, I nearly had it then. No, I can't remember. Well, her. She was so intent on doing this surgery. I think she did use an adult diaper. Oh, we probably haven't got any of those at the moment. That wouldn't surprise me either. The way the world's going, the world is absolutely mad. I'm glad Kim's got proper masks. I don't have a proper mask, thus I am not going out.
I see loads of people wearing masks. Like Debbie says, she even wears it when she's out walking. Yeah, I see loads of people wearing masks when they go out walking.
It just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you never know who's going to come up to you. I mean, there was a girl who'd gone out. I don't know where she was going. Christina Yang. I thought it was Yan, but it's Yang, isn't it? Oh, she was a great character. I loved her in it. But now she's in the other thing, isn't she? Name of which will come to me eventually. The one with... I can't remember people's name at the moment. All programmes, to be honest. Yes, it was. It was Christina Yang, that's right. She must have left quite a while ago now. 2014. Now, I would have thought it was after that because I was playing catch-up. So she probably didn't leave for me till about 2016. I was behind. Killing Eve. That's the one. Killing Eve. I saw the first series. I got the others to catch up with. I'm up to the episode, because I know Kim watches this. I'm up to the episode where the on-off wedding is happening and the operation on Richard. So I'm up to that part. I do not have Killing Eve. Killing Eve was it was an unusual one for a couple of reasons. I think it wasn't premiered on terrestrial TV. It was premiered on some online service. That was the first thing. And the second thing was there were two main female stars. So when it came time for, is it the Emmy nominations? They wanted to nominate them both, and apparently you can't do that. So they nominated the pair of them. They had to change the rules so they could nominate the pair of them. I'm reading this and it doesn't bear any relation to what I remember. But never mind. I haven't actually been watching anything. All I'm watching at the moment is Grey's Anatomy and Station 19, and I think that's it. And the standard TV. Oh, good grief. There are no words, are there, Mike, for how bad the stuff that they're offering us is.
I've stopped watching it.
I see the guide, the TV guide, and I'm just like, head in hands, really? You're putting that on again? It's just over and over and over. Rubbish. Complete rubbish. Luckily, I have lots of books to read, as Jonathan will tell you. When I said I had, like, what was it, 2,800 books in Audible? I do love my books. I do. If you think that's a lot, you should see what I've got on the Kindle. Because every day there's about 20 or 30 new free books on the free ones at Amazon. So I get lots of things that I can try. And then if I like it, then I'll head off down the series route. I do like listening to stuff like that. Mind you, I've kind of changed anything that I would have wanted to have watched to stuff on YouTube. There are some amazing YouTubers out there. I've always thought of YouTube as somewhere to go to find a video when I need to fix something or learn something. or research something. But a lot of them I didn't realise. Remember when we went to that podcast do, Mike?
Yeah.
And we said this is a genre we had no idea existed. And it was drama, mainly sci-fi drama. And there were people there who were writing it, and then there were people being cast in it, and they were on a series. So it was a little bit like, you know, an audio version of Doctor Who. And we had no idea there was that genre, and it was as popular as it was. So it was a bit like that with these videos. But there are so many of them, and they are so professionally put together, that I look at the TV and just think, you know, these are just absolute garbage by comparison. I think I do have that one I've been threatening Paul with for a long time. I finally managed to capture one of those. What have we got? What's Station 19 about? Station 19 is a spin-off from Grey's Anatomy. It's set in a firehouse and it's very, very good. There's a lot of crossover with Grey's. I think they're up to series, is it series 3 now? It's actually starting to make a lot more sense over here at the minute, because I presume in America they're either put on the same night or something like that. But over here they traditionally haven't been. So you're watching the whole of a Grey's series, and then after that's finished, they'll then put Station 19 on, and then you've got to basically piece together the stories. So like there was a story that appeared in Grey's about a guy who'd met with a bear. But we didn't get the Station 19 version of that story till about 4 months later, by which time I'm like, what did happen to the guy with the bear? But at the moment, they're putting them on at the same time, which is great. So I think they're kind of back to back now. So you watch one, watch the other, watch the next one, and it all follows on. But it is very, very good. It's very good stories. You see, they are on one after the other. They're not here, Kim. So I think the first series of Station 19 was probably a whole year after the linked shows with Grey's. Then the second one came on, and that wasn't as bad, but it certainly wasn't right. But because they've held on, do you remember me going on and on and on? Probably from like September with Where's Grey's? When they finally got around to putting it on, they did put it on contemporaneous with Station 19, so I can't complain, can I? Audible has a 2-for-1 sale right now. Not in the UK, it doesn't. We had a 3-for-2.
It did last week.
We had a 3-for-2 last week. It was a 3-for-2 last week, but it's not a 2-for-1 for us at the moment. I'm very careful with my credits. That's how I get so many books. I will hang on to credits. I don't think above twice in the last year I have used one credit for one book. I've hung on to them and done like the 2-for-1 or a 3-for-2. I also am very careful. Sometimes you'll get a book on offer on Amazon. So on a daily basis, there's usually about 4 books on offer. There's also the 100 books that are free. And there's a monthly sale as well. So you have about, on any given day, over 400 books to look at that are either free or 99 pence. And with those, if you buy the 99 pence book, then you can go to Audible and you can get the audio version for like £2.99, which is much cheaper than one credit. So I've always said to Mike, buying stuff on Audible is an art form. To get the most books for the amount that you are investing. The other thing that helps greatly, which doesn't cost me that much at all, is Amazon have, I'm presuming they've got this in the States, they have Kindle Unlimited. Kindle Unlimited being, you pay them a flat fee per month, so it is subscription based, but you pay them that fee per month and you can rent out up to 10 books at a time. So issue with that is, let's say there is a book and this book is $4.99 to buy for the Kindle version. And the audio book is $29.99, which wouldn't be unusual. If that book is part of the Kindle Unlimited program, You can borrow it and it won't cost you anything at all. And then when you go to Audible, always assuming your Audible account and your Amazon account are linked, instead of that book being $29.99, it will be like $2.99. So all that it would cost me is $2.99. And then once I've got the Audible version of the book, I then send the Kindle Unlimited version back and it costs me nothing other than my monthly sub, which I use for other books anyway. Oh, Mrs. Simon's got Kindle Unlimited. I love it. I think it's great. I also find books in there because they're in Kindle Unlimited. It'll say, like, you know, you want to look at your Kindle Unlimited page. And you go to it and it might be like a book that you haven't heard of before. And you think, well, I'll give it a go. One of the ones I did that with was like a historic murder mystery thing. I think it was around the time of Jack the Ripper. But it wasn't the Jack the Ripper story. It was a fiction book. And it was really good. Really good. So then I took the rest of the series. It is very, very good. I will give it a go with those. I'll tell you who is a great author in terms of the rattling yarns, let's say. But I don't know if he's part of Kindle Unlimited. But I do love his books. Let's have a look. Yes, they are. A guy called Conrad Jones, who comes
Mrs.
from...
T has rung the dinner bell.
Oh, enjoy, Simon. Don't leave the lady standing. Yeah, Conrad Jones, he's written quite a few different series. Alec Ramsey, the Tank series, Inspector Braddock. There's also one, the Anglesey Murders. They just rattle along. Do you know what I mean? We're not talking great literature, but there's a good story and they rattle along. And they are part of Kindle Unlimited, which, I mean, the one I'm looking at here is the first five books from the Anglesey Murder series, which is the one I'm in the middle of right now. None of his books tend to be that expensive. I'm looking at them. They are all available in the Kindle Unlimited. Ooh, there's one I've not got. So I can try them. And then if they come on offer and I actually want to own it, what I would really love... is to be able to get audiobooks of his books, but he doesn't seem to bother. I'm guessing the production costs would be horrific. So we don't have audiobooks. But you can get Alexa to read it to you. It's a little bit robotic, but it's not bad. It's not bad. It's worth trying once. Let's put it like that. It's worth trying once. But his are very good. I like that kind of thing. And there's a few other series that I like as well. One, Audible recommended to me, Angela Marson's. And it was because I was saying, like, you know, don't know what to read next. What should I read next? And they came back and said, like, what do you like? And I thought, what I really want to read is the next Robert Galbraith, which is J.K. Rowling's pen name for the Strike, Cormoran Strike books. Love those. Absolutely love those. And obviously, it hadn't even been announced at the time. It has now been announced. I think it's due in the autumn. Let's have a look, see if I can find it. I think it's September, October time.
I've got 6 credits.
I've got 6 credits too.
Yeah.
Kindle edition of the Robert Galbraith book. $10.99.
I think they've saved them up.
That's obscene. $10.99, but it's out the 15th of September. So I will block off 3 days to listen to that. I absolutely love those. And probably what I'll do leading up to it as well is listen to the other four again. Now, that's one of the ones that I want as soon as it's come out the door. So that's one of the ones I will use a full credit for. Oh, they've actually got the cover now as well, because it was left on a cliffhanger in book four. When did book four come out? It's more than a year ago. Sure it was. When did that come out? Come on. September 2018, so there's been 2 years between those two. If she spent less time on Twitter annoying everybody, then she could probably write more books. Hello, Anthony. What are those books about? If you mean the which ones do you mean? Do you mean the Cormoran Strike books or do you mean Conrad Jones? Let's start with Conrad Jones. Conrad Jones started writing after the Warrington bomb. So his first ones were a series, they were called Soft Target. And they were based on how terrorists work. But he then moved out into police procedurals, and the Anglesey murders, I guess you'd say, they're police procedurals. He's just very, very good at writing in a way that you get all of the meaning. It's very descriptive, but it rattles along. You know, you're like, I'll just read one more chapter. It is very, very good. I think he's a very good writer. You know, no, we're not talking great literary geniuses of our time, but in a way we are, because he has written so many books. I think it takes him 3 to 4 months to write a book. And in terms of how would it compare to something like J.K. Rowling, who's taken 2 years, stacks up pretty well against it, to be honest. So I do think he's very, very good. Those tend to be the kind of topics that he limits himself to. I guess for me, the fact that the first series was based in Liverpool and the Anglesey murders is based in North Wales, which is about 60 miles from us, you kind of know the locations as well. He's in Unlimited in the States. It's worth a go. The first one I read was called Soft Target, which they're calling the Liverpool Thriller Series. The other series that I'm reading is the Anglesey Murders, and the first one of those, it says Dark Angel. No, it's on Holy Island, I'm sure. Let's have a look at all of his books and see what the first one's called. But you can get the first five in one chunk, you know, a five-book bundle in Unlimited. So they're all together there. But I think the first one... Oh, it does annoy me when you've got to click twice to get to a page. Right, it's the one I'm actually reading. Unholy Island, I do believe, is the first one. Are you the book I am reading right now? Let's have a look at the pricey and find out. Is that the one? Yes. The must-read thriller of 2020, book one in the D.I. Alan Williams series. It's a bit gory, to get it to start with. It is a bit gory, I'll give you that. But I just think he's a good writer. It rattles on. It's not where you... I started listening to one book and it should have been great. It was about Facebook, and not like historically about Facebook, a fiction book about Facebook and stalking on Facebook. And it should have been right up my street and it just droned on. I do like it to move on a bit. And his are very descriptive and they bump on a bit. You know, you're not left while he rambles on about spending 15 pages discussing what the orange looks like. It's descriptive enough that you feel the characters and you feel the locations, but it does actually move the story on as well. Give him a go, Anthony. Give him a go. I don't think he does audiobooks, though. That's why I was just saying that. I don't think he does audiobooks because they are so expensive to produce. Let's have a look what I'm listening to on the Audible front. I know what I'm listening to at the moment. Typical for me. It's called The Exphoria Code. And it's about a hacker who's working for MI6. Or 5, 6. One of them. One of the UK spook agencies, anyway. The character herself reminds me a little bit of Elizabeth Salander from the Millennium Trilogy. In the fact that she's so computer literate and badass, basically. And I'm enjoying that one. I think I'm about a third of the way through that one. Right, let's have a look.
Do you ever take any notice of the review stars?
Sometimes. You know, they have a sale item every day.
Yeah.
I do tend to look at that. I tend to take less notice of what they've got to say about the story, because that to me is personal preference. But I do tend to give a bit of credence to what they say about the narrator. Now, I know
you could
get one person who just doesn't like a particular narrator. But if, without exception, everyone's saying, like, this is shocking, shockingly narrated, then I would read that. I mean, today we've got one called Legion, The Horus Heresy, Book 7. And the reviews are pretty decent, apart from the bottom one, which says the narrating wasn't as good as the other Heresy books and the story was dry and boring. But particularly they've pointed out that the performance was bad. But everybody else has given it 5 out of 5 for everything. And if one's got 4, but the narrator's got 5 for everyone. So I can only assume that person just took against it for some reason. Another thing that I will think about is the one that says it's poor. This is poor. It's really poor, right? It says an Amazon customer, so there's no name. So if you're not prepared to put a name to what you're saying, why should I really take that much notice? How much notice do you take?
I take notice, like you said, of the what they might say about the reader, the narrator, if it drones on.
Yeah.
I half take notice of the actual number of stars if it's the actual content. But like you say, one person might find the content fascinating because it's up their street, and somebody else might be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've read football books, and somebody will say fascinating insight into football management, and somebody else might say this is dull and boring.
Well, depends, no pleasing people.
It depends what you're looking for. So you know, I'm thinking now, if I fancy the book, I'll buy it.
That's the approach I take. You know, there is, of course, you can hit the sample and hear how bad the narrator is. There's some American narrators, and they remind me of every narrator when I started listening to audiobooks, because so many of them were imported from America. And I have no problem with an American accent at all. But I'll listen to a couple of them now and they're like robotic. Now, I don't think it's the accent. I just think it's something about the delivery. It just sounds robotic.
I bought Satya Nadella's book. Nadella. Mm. Nadella.
Nadella, not Nutella.
We call it Nadella. Because you said it was on off price or something.
Mm.
And I started listening to that. And the first bit was all right because it was like the history of Microsoft. And now he's gone on to AI, which theoretically
you should be interested in.
But it's just, I'm not interested in it. And even at 1.5 speed. So I gave up and went to another book.
I'll tell you what is interesting. When they change narrator halfway through a series, there were 2 occasions that happened. One is a series of books from Ellie Griffith. Ellie Griffith is the pen name of a lady who has 2 series, I think. The first series is the Ruth Galloway series. I started... Yeah, no, see, that's actually interesting. Really interesting. Bizarre as I look at it. I started listening right at the beginning when she was... started doing Ruth Galloway. Ruth Galloway is a bone doctor, archaeology, but with a kind of CSI spin on it, basically. She works at a university, so she is an archaeologist, but she works for the local police. And I just really, really enjoyed the series. So that was one that I listened to. But the weird thing was, it started off and they had somebody doing the narration. And they seem to alternate between these narrators. And some people absolutely hate that. One is Jane McDowell and the other's Claire Corbett. Now, I don't particularly mind either of them. In fact, I think they both do a great job. But there was one occasion where I was listening to a series. Now, this was a great series. This one was D.I. Kalanak. So it's a Scottish thing. I just seem to love Scottish crime thrillers. And the Kalanak ones, it started off with a book where this guy comes over from France. He's actually of Scottish and French parentage, but he's lived in France and he's come over to Scotland because there was a bit of an issue in France. And he's taken over a murder squad. So obviously this guy has a French accent. He has a Scottish name, but a French accent. And I listened to the first 2 books, and they were really good. Then I came on to book three. And book three was a totally different narrator. And obviously the narrators had been putting on a French accent. But book three was just so much better. The accent in book three was better. Considerably better. And it really did change how you looked at it. And I thought, I wish this guy had done the first two books. The guy who'd done the first two books was great, but the French accent wasn't the best. It was a bit allo-allo-ish. Do you know what I mean, Mike? Wow. Just a little bit overdone. Anyway, I noticed there was a sale on, and these Camelot books were on offer. And of course, mine said, in your library, in your library. But the first two books didn't say in your library. And I'm like, I've heard them. I know I have. I can tell you what the stories were. Why is it not saying it's in my library? So I went to my library and I searched for both of these books, and they were in my library. So why was it saying they were available for purchase and I hadn't purchased them? And the issue was either the author or whoever, producers, had decided that the guy who did book three, four and five was such a better narrator for this particular character, they had paid to have books one and two done again. And I thought, I really love those books and I would really love to hear the two again with a different narrator.
I mean, there's one here. Ben Stokes, you know, the England cricketer.
Yep.
And it's about the Ashes series. Was it the World Cup last summer? And it says, you know, people have given their reviews. An interesting insight, great lesson. Poor narration. Not only does the reader not sound anything approaching a northeast accent, he clearly hasn't got a clue about cricket and often mispronounced various names and words.
I've seen that in reviews before.
And that's in two separate reviews for the same book.
I think it's difficult for people. I mean, you and I know how difficult it is to actually read from a script. I mean, you'd think it was easy, wouldn't you? It is not easy. This is why what we do isn't scripted. When I'm working, so when I'm doing something like a wrap-up on a video, obviously I've got visuals that are going to be on the screen, but they won't be on the screen at the point that I'm doing the recording, because they will be exported from Keynote and put on the timeline. So I'm not actually looking at them at the point I'm doing the narration. So I consider the end bit of the video. So normally how it works is I'll sit down and I'll do the first bit. And the first bit has to be tight. You've got about 8 seconds to tell somebody what's in a video before they've gone. So I always start off and say, hi, Elaine here. In this video today, blah, 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 but less than 8 seconds. Then there'll be like my bumper, and then I'll go into the content. And that beginning bit has to be scripted, because otherwise you start explaining and then you're into the 20-second mark. So the first bit is scripted, and I guarantee I will fluff the first line every single time. So what I've actually taken to doing is like, la, 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 read the first line out and then press record. Right. So I do the first bit. The body of the video is, I won't say it's unrehearsed, I know what I'm going to say, but it's not scripted. Because how could it be? I'm recording my screen. I've got my running order in front of me. I've got the mouse, the keyboard, two microphones, a digital recorder. You're lucky if I can see the screen. So the last thing I want is actually to be working from a script as well, where you think, I can't ad-lib, I've got to stick to the script. And then your eyes are half on what you're doing and half on the script. So I don't bother. I have a running order to make sure that I don't miss something out, but I don't particularly stick to a script. But when I come onto the wrap-up, I know that what's on the screen will be on the screen in a certain order. And I'm going to have to stick to that. And it's scripted in front of me. And it's very difficult to make a script sound not scripted. So actually reading something out is incredibly difficult. So I do have the greatest of admiration for anybody who narrates a book. Because I also heard this interview with somebody who did narrations. And they said, you really have to be familiar with the book. And when you think a book could be anything from like 8 to 30 hours, depending on the length of it. Good night, Paul. To be familiar with that amount of content takes some doing. And some this person who narrated books made a point that, you know, you can be listening to a book all the way through and think, oh, yeah, northeast accent, southwest accent, and get to the last bit to find out that in the last chapter, you know, a comment's made that they're Welsh. And then all your perceptions have to change. So they do put a lot of effort into it, but I think we all have preferences, don't we? And sometimes you're listening and you think, I can't listen to this person. Only once, I think, have I ever thought, this is dire. I don't know whether it was a combination of issues. One, it was quite long. Two, it wasn't a book per se. It was a lecture series. So this person was a professor. There is a series, it's like lectures. Let me see if I can find one and find the series. These are the type that are usually on offer at some point. They'd be in education. Oh, why don't I just put that in? I'm just trying to work out what they would call it. That would have a T, that would have a H in it, woman. But this particular thing, maybe I have to put that on the end. Oh, maybe they don't sell them anymore. But they're basically lectures, a lecture series, and they can be like 30 hours long. And it's basically the same as taking a course. And this lady was a professor in whatever this was. Maybe modern American studies, something like that. From New York. So she had a really broad New York accent. But the other thing was, because this was so long, to make it more portable for mobile devices, they'd scrunched it down to such low quality. It would have sounded dreadful if you'd have had Sean Connery reading it. It was, the life was squished out of it by the compression. It was just way too much. Add that to the topic and the fact that she was quite nervous because it was being recorded and she's like a university professor. And it was nigh on impossible to listen to. It was terrible. I think the series was Great Courses. Yes, it's there's hundreds of these things from the Great Courses. And they come on offer and you can get like 3 courses for 1. And they cover everything. Effective communication skills, the foundations of Western civilization, you name it. And I love that kind of thing. This particular book was about McCarthyism. And I was listening to it because, ooh, long convoluted story. My favourite actor was at a local theatre and he was in 2 plays. And one of the plays was an Arthur Miller play. And part of the background history to the play was McCarthyism. And I wasn't as familiar with it as I should have been. So I was listening to this thing. And I absolutely loved the content, but the quality of the audio was terrible. And then I had a brainwave and I thought, just a minute, can't you download the full quality? Now, you have to go out of your way to do that because obviously the file size is huge. So I went and I got the full quality one, manually got it where I needed to get it and then press play. That was actually much, much better. So I think it was a combination of her accent and the fact that she was a lady. She had a higher pitched voice, so when the compression kicked in, it stripped out what bass there was in it, and it would have affected a female voice much, much more than a male voice. I mean, we have our microphones set up here, and Mike has to have different settings than mine. If we left Mike at the settings mine were on, he'd probably be muffly. If we take mine any higher, it would probably be too high. But if we take it any lower, then I would sound like a bloke. It's a nightmare. But this lady in particular, with the New York accent and the fact she was a lady, and I would say she was higher pitched than an average lady to start with, when they added the compression on top of that, it was like, don't bother. It was dreadful. It was like nails on a blackboard. But once I got the full quality one, it actually was way, way better. And I enjoyed it. But even then, I wouldn't criticise the audio on that, other than saying, you know, if you've got an option, listen to the uncompressed one. But some of the things that people say are diabolical. And I know that people can make mistakes with particularly locations, and they should be picked up on. But I don't think that's the worst thing I've ever heard in an audio book. That one you had of Karen Brady, where the mistakes were still in it. That was bad. Just must have been missed in the edit. She actually, didn't she swear, the narrator?
I can't remember.
And then went back. I think she did.
Possibly.
But clearly no one had told them. But surely somebody should listen to these things. Clearly it was missed. It was missed. But I love those. I think the fact that the person narrating it may not be the world's best narrator is offset by the fact that they are an expert in what they're talking about. So I think they come on sale about once a year, but clearly we're not getting the sales at the same time as you are. But I have loads of those courses and I love them. I'm just a lifelong learner, I think. I mean, I've got some weird ones when I look at them. And you know, when the sale comes on, I'm like, oh, I can get 3 for 1 credit. Oh, which ones can I leave? Because I just want to listen to them all, even the weirdest ones. The weirdest ones, like there was one, The History of Ancient Egypt. I don't know anything about the history of ancient Egypt, but it sounded interesting. I have to rein myself in. There aren't enough hours in the day. And the other ones that make me laugh are things like, you know, economics. I did economics to A level. I couldn't stop doing economics fast enough. And now I'm fascinated and want to do a course in economics. Lock me up before I get into any more trouble. But they are very, very good. So if they come on, I would recommend those. A lot of them have downloadable materials as well. So it really is like doing a course. We would have it at university. If it was like 30 hours, we would have that as like half a credit, basically. We weren't expected to do majors and minors. Unless you had a split degree, which was doing two subjects to the same level, there was only one university where you were expected to do like extra stuff that was unrelated. And I remember going to this place for an interview and walking around, lovely place, and thinking, why? I want to be a lawyer. Okay, I changed my mind, but that's not the point. And they were saying you have to do a course on astronomy. And I'm like, what for? Couldn't fathom it. But you had to get extra credit for those things. And these are a little bit like that. But I think they're very useful. So what's this one? London's Glory, Christopher Fowler. Oh, I think I've got one of those. I didn't recognise the London's Glory, but I do recognise Brian and May. Which makes me think of the matches. I think I have a couple of theirs that were on offer. So they're probably in my to be read. Let's have a look. Which was the first one? Is it Full Dark House? Because I've got that one and I've got that keyed up to go. I like the sound of it. So I've got a couple of those. I think I've got... have I got 3? I do wish there was a better way to look at the full series. I've got 3, but unfortunately, not the second one. So I've got the first one, Full Dark House, and I've got 77 Clocks, which is book 3, and 10 Second Staircase, which is book 4. But obviously, I'd probably choose to listen to them in order. And I don't have The Water Room, which is book 2. If you've read more than one, Anthony, could you skip one, do you think, or should you read them in order? Because I haven't got the second one. I suppose I should get that, shouldn't I? There's actually quite a few of those, isn't there? How many books is there? 14, by the looks of that. Oh, now, interestingly, London's Glory is book 12.5 and it's not available on Audible. So maybe that's an Amazon-only one. It looks like the half books aren't available on Audible. But there's quite a few of them that are. I need to get Alexa reading stuff out again. I've got out of the habit. You're still having a hard time sorting out your education system. Yeah, so are we. It's weird. We go for depth in a narrow area rather than breadth, unfortunately. So our education system starts off where all the kids are doing everything, only to sort of primary level, but they're doing everything. And then once you hit high school at 11, it's all about narrowing it down. So you drop subjects when you get to year... Oh, good grief. I think it would be year 8. And then you drop again at year 10. And by the time you get to university, you're probably just doing one thing, if you get the opportunity to do one thing, which was what I decided to do in the end. It annoyed me so much, the fact that you were meant... I mean, if the subject had some kind of bearing on your main subject, it would make sense, but they didn't seem to. I did not want to sit there, you know, looking up at the sky at night. I could see economics and law, or philosophy and law, but not stars and law. Didn't work. So it is a bit weird. We just seem to narrow, until in the end, you're doing one thing and you don't get the extra credit. Now I'm a little bit older, I can see the benefit of it. But even when I look back to what the subjects were, I still don't think they were that relevant. There's other things. English literature would have been more relevant than looking at the sky at night, but that wasn't an option. A lot of it depended on what professors they had and the fact they needed to just keep the numbers up on their course. It's shocking. Next book to read, CIA agents, about how to tell when someone's lying. Oh, I saw that one advertised. I think that was advertised. Was it Audible? Only the other day. Oh, it could have been a review on YouTube. I spent half my life on there. Ooh, that one does sound interesting, actually. Anthony's got them all. Tend to read them in order. The early ones, you might be able to read them out of order. The later ones refer back to things. That's what's so annoying, Anthony. And it's very difficult on Audible. Sometimes you should be able to click under the series. And it should take you through to a page which lists all the series. And a lot of the time it does. But if they've misclassified a book... it does make you wonder. There's one missing, and it's just like it goes from 9 to 11. And you think, well, is there a 10? And you then find the 10, but it's just been misallocated. Another thing that I find really weird, there's a book there, which is book 8, and it's Bryant and May Off the Rails. And one says at the top, Full and Unabridged, 10 hours 46. And then underneath, there is an exact copy of the same book by the same narrator, which is 5 minutes longer. Why are there two books? And they're two different prices as well. And that does annoy me. Because I'm like, the covers are almost identical. Is it just a who owns the copyright thing? I don't know. So how do you know which one to buy? Does annoy me, that. A lot of series do that, don't they? And sometimes it can totally ruin it. And I loathe that. I want to have no idea what's gone on. I don't want to be thinking back. Sometimes when I'm listening to books in order and it mentions something, I think, if someone is reading this for the first time, they don't need to know that. It will ruin the other book. I mean, it's obvious if a main character's in peril in a previous book, they made it through because they're in this book. But beyond that, I don't think you need it. So I'll have a go with the first one and then get the second one before I read the rest. But like I say, it does so annoy me. There's more than one book here. Book 11, Bleeding Heart. Same scenario. 1 minute difference, same author, same narrator. It isn't that one is the abridged version. They're both full and unabridged. So why are there two of them? And why is there a £6 price difference? It makes no sense. And again, book 13, same thing. I'm wondering if somebody's bought the rights to them and kind of like relaunched them, which doesn't explain a 5 minute difference in the timing, does it? But on your recommendation, I'm going to give that a go. I will bump it up my listening list, which is quite extensive to start with. But I won't be listening to anything tonight because I am getting ready for tomorrow, when we have Devon Think Part 2. We also have 17 Ways from Sunday of backing up iCloud. After the horse was last seen galloping away from the open stable door, which was last week. But you'll enjoy the story because it doesn't involve your files. Only mine that self-destructed. But let's say I have beaten it into submission, finally. So I have found, I say this to Mike quite a bit, like Edison with the light bulb, I have found the 300 ways that don't work. But this time I found the one way that does. So I will be sharing that with you tomorrow. But until then, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.